lecture on Christian Science from First Church of Christ Scientists, Richmond Hill, New York. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy tells us, "It is our ignorance of God which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of Him restores harmony." How we may gain this right understanding of God will be explained in more detail by our lecturer, John D. Pickett of Chicago, Illinois, member of the Board of Lectureship of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts, who will address us on the subject, Christian Science, the Life-Preserving Power of True Intelligence. It is now my privilege and pleasure to present to you Mr. Pickett.
Thank you, Mr. Siegler. Good evening, friends, and to those also who may be listening in the greater metropolitan area of New York to this radio broadcast. We all who live in this area, I live in Chicago, but those of you who live in this part of New York are particularly aware of the search that goes on for effective intelligence. Hear these comforting words from the Bible. And may I say that this is the King James Version of the Bible, read by all students of Christian Science. "I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night.' And today one sees firsthand evil forces at work, do we not, to accuse, to question, to make us doubt the life-preserving power of true intelligence? Our present statesmen warn that the evil forebodings of the Cold War and the threat of atomic destruction will continue for generations yet to come. But when we're in trouble, we're not disturbed, are we, provided we know there is a way out? But what is one looking to as a way out? Is it not divine intelligence alone that affords the only safety from all evil forces, both mental and physical? And this science is dedicated to man's achieving of the life-preserving power of true intelligence. Our Master Christ Jesus foresaw great disturbances and points to divine intelligence as the only solution. He stated there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, great distress with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things coming upon the earth. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And the search for true intelligence, effective intelligence, goes on day and night. Representatives of the United Nations, diplomats, and physical scientists are seeking various freedoms for the peoples of the world. But those who understand this science are dedicated to mankind's achieving of the permanent security found only in effective intelligence. Mary Baker Eddy discovered and founded Christian Science almost a century ago and wrote the textbook which I am holding in my hand, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Her revolutionary discovery reveals that God, the divine mind, is the only true intelligence of man. And when the divine mind is held to as the only mind, we're assured of the life-preserving power of true intelligence. She writes, Christian scientists should beware of unseen snares and hold to the divine principle and rule of for demonstration. Every human thought must turn instinctively to the divine mind as the soul center and intelligence. Yes, Christian science reveals the power of true intelligence, and the purpose of this lecture tonight, this discussion with you in your homes or in your cars and in this lovely edifice in First Church in Richmond Hills, this effective intelligence is available for you. It's revealed through the understanding of God as the only mind. And Christian science is fulfilling the Bible statement, that Bible's promise, that because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, in proportion as we learn to understand God, we can prove the life-preserving and effective power of true intelligence. There is a pathway of freedom, security, and dominion for those who understand that the true forces of the universe are not destructive, but are the creative forces of God, and therefore forever harmonious and beneficial to mankind. So should it not be our responsibility to learn to know more of God? And so let the dawning and expectant interest of those of us listening to this discussion tonight consider these terms for God. Life, love, mind, truth, principle, soul, spirit. Now, these are synonyms for God used by the Bible or clearly implied in it. Now, to be sure, these terms can be understood spiritually or understood humanly. But when through the study of Christian science we learn to understand their higher spiritual meaning, we can learn to know God. What greater joy is there than to know that God is our Father, eternal life, and that we are, in reality, the expression of that supreme life. That God is our mother, unfailing love, and that we're the expression of that divine love. And also let us specifically consider tonight these two synonyms for God. God is mind, the divine intelligence of man, and God is soul, the central sun of our true being. In the light of Christian science, it becomes clear that God, the divine mind, is the central sun or soul of our true being. Now, we know, and let us consider, because we will be dwelling on this important point, that the earth's beauty and harmony depend on the sun. And through analogy that points to this planet's relationship to the sun, Ms. Eddy calls our attention to the spiritual fact that the beauty, harmony, and joy of life depend on our knowing our inseparable relationship with God, our Father, Mother, from whom all blessings flow. The mighty outpourings of abundant good which divine intelligence ever bestows on man is made manifest as our needed supply of health and joy. Now, regardless of what the fear and insecurity of mortal belief may say to the contrary, when the divine mind, the soul of man, is held to as the central sun of our true being, we are assured of the effective light and protecting power of true intelligence. But there are two basic footsteps required if we were to place ourselves under this unfailing power of true intelligence. One, we must understand God as soul or divine mind and man's inseparable oneness with this divine intelligence. Two, we must reverse the false concept of life as a soul within and depending upon a temporal, ever-changing physical body. To express divine intelligence, it must be understood on a spiritual basis. You know, the earth's relationship to the sun can be understood intellectually, but to understand and be blessed by the life-preserving power of true intelligence requires spiritual understanding. Regardless of what the fear and insecurity of mortal belief may say, this divine power is present with every individual consciousness. It is the light of the Christ, the healing light of truth, which our Master demonstrated in healing and blessing mankind. It is the light of the Christ in which he walked. It is the light which the Bible tells us, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it is this divine and unfailing light that is understandably and demonstrably revealed to us in Christian Science. Now, may I say that, as I have implied, that divine intelligence cannot come to us through merely argumentative or doctrinal beliefs. Why, we know that human theories tend to cloud the life-preserving power of true intelligence. And certainly we see on a physical basis how the clouds separate the earth from the warmth and light of the sun. Now, to become imbued with this unfailing light, we must know, understand, love, and obey God's directives. To express divine intelligence, one must have a true understanding of God as the divine mind or central sun of our true being. In fact, for one to express his true individuality, he must express divine intelligence. Hear what Mrs. Eddy says about man. Man is idea, the image of love. As I was sitting in the first reader's room, I saw a lovely little plastic sign in beautiful red with gold letters, quoting from the Bible, "Love never faileth." And that's what man is. Mrs. Eddy tells us, he is the image of love. And she further states, he is that which has no mind separate from God. And again, he is that which has no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. Now let me illustrate the steps by which a high school boy learned to use divine intelligence. You see, children can express this unfailing intelligence, this divine love that never fails. And so let us start with a high school boy and go on into business and businessmen, and then into those of perhaps more metaphysical understanding. Well, this high school boy was a student of Christian Science and was experiencing difficulty in his studies. His advisor at school told him it might be helpful if he took an IQ test, which he did. And later, he received a letter from his school stating that the score of his test registered amongst the highest in his grade. And it added, consider deeply and properly evaluate the capacity of your intelligence. Hold it high. Now, this letter awaken this boy to the truth in Christian Science that God, the divine mind, is the only complete, indivisible intelligence of man. And when the divine mind is held to as the soul or central sun of our true being, why, we begin to reflect this life-preserving power and effective life, light of true intelligence. And he became conscious of his class as a group of individuals. He never seemed to look at them that way before. His thoughts were self-centered, and his marks jumped at once. His extracurricular activities became fruitful. In fact, the symphony which he composed in the light of his new spiritual endeavors was orchestrated and broadcast over a local television station. Now, this experience, and I might say he became aware of the privilege of his being a member of the Mother Church and to assume the privilege, assume the responsibility this privilege calls for. Now, this healing, when augmented, or this experience, when augmented by the many healings taking place in Christian Science, reveals how step by step, divine intelligence is a beacon leading to the peace of the world and revealing the harmony which constitutes the true brotherhood of man. And so when one is tempted to say, you see, our expression of this intelligence is so far-reaching, so one is tempted to say it's a beacon light reaching out into the world. So when one is tempted to say, I'm not sick, business is good, I have plenty, well, let him ask himself, as did this young high school boy, am I using my unlimited intelligence? Am I expanding my spiritual capacity? Ms. Eddy writes, every day makes its demands on us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. Now, in the light of Christian Science and Bible history, it becomes clear that the divine mind holds within itself the spiritual energies and vigor, or let me put it this way, holds within itself the power to restore man's, your and my, spiritual energies, vigor, and purpose. Where are we receiving this restorative power? Where does it come from? Well, the same place on a spiritual basis that the earth's beauty and harmony comes from on a physical basis. And, you know, in God we trust is not just a phrase, but points to the dynamic impulsion that advances humanity. And when we express this divine intelligence, we are assured of the protecting power of God's presence and unfailing love. Who has not felt the uplifting power of these words from the prophet Isaiah that points to the unfailing impulsion of God? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, it is generally admitted, is it not, that material remedies have failed to bring peace, freedom from aggression, freedom from fear, freedom from warfare? Well, those who understand this science are dedicated to mankind's spiritual achieving of the permanent security and peace found only through the Christ way of salvation. The high purpose of the Christian Science periodicals is to bring the life-preserving power of Christly intelligence to humanity. The peoples of the world, my friends, whether aware of it or not, are intuitively today feeling the stir of the Christ They're experiencing and witnessing the power of the Christ to awaken man into his true being as it exists in the universe of mind. And to those of you who have questions to ask about the explosive forces that seem so prevalent all over the globe, this statement of our leaders provides the only satisfactory answer. The infinite will not be buried in the finite. God is universal, and Christian Science reveals he cannot be bound in finite false beliefs. Now let me illustrate again how Christian Science lifts receptive thought into the spiritual consciousness of God's ideas and naturally enables man to express the life-preserving power of true intelligence. A business executive whom I know was an officer in a company designing and manufacturing large machinery. Business demands on him were such that he felt himself cut off from other creative work which he enjoyed. A sense of tension and frustration became overwhelming. And a close friend, knowing that other members of his family were Christian Scientists, asked him why he didn't turn to it for help. And then his friend added, "You deal in such heavy machinery that I presume you find it too difficult to work with spiritual ideas." Now these words led the industrialist to write this letter to his friend. I'm taking it out of the Bible, and it is a thought-provoking letter, and actually his words, his own words, led him to the study of Christian Science. And let me read it in part to you. "We were discussing our daily work or our professions. Do I deal in material things? We sell material things and build them, but they really represent ideas. One, we correspond through ideas with people we often do not see or know. Two, we receive their ideas as to their needs, and then we design and place on paper our ideas of a machine that will meet these needs. Three, ideas price this equipment. Four, we sell and receive orders for equipment that is yet to be built. You see, the heavy machinery hadn't developed as yet, and they were receiving orders and for equipment that existed as ideas in the designer's mind. Five, the customers bill by mail, and five, although the factory builds it, I may never actually see it." So he brought out that the factory may build this heavy machinery, but as an executive, he was in the office dealing in ideas. Six, the customer is billed by mail and pays by check. No actual money changes hands. Seven, if our designs are well thought out and good equipment delivered, we have a happy customer whom we may never know except through our correspondence. Is that dealing in material things? It is all done on a principle common to all work, which if you follow, you are bound to succeed. Therefore, it is not the size or weight of the object that counts, but what you're dealing with and how well you are doing it." Now, not being a Christian Scientist, he was referring to human thoughts or ideas rather than spiritual ideas. But his writing of this letter awakened in him a desire to look into Christian Science. And through his study of Christian Science, of our textbook, he was impressed with these words: divine science, rising above physical theories, excludes matter, resolves things into thoughts, and replaces the objects of sense with spiritual ideas. Now, actually, the statement of Mazzetti's opened an entirely new door of consciousness. He found that he had in his business been translating things into thoughts, seeing that this heavy machinery existed as ideas. But he had never learned to replace the objects of sense with spiritual ideas. This higher spiritual understanding required a spiritual understanding of God he had never explored. And through his study of Christian Science, he found that the divine principle of all true business is really God, and that all good that is done, God does. And here's a wonderful thing. He became conscious of his true individuality as the actual expression of the ideas of divine mind rather than a tormented physical body. Now, I wonder if you recognize the importance of this third and important step of translating rising above material things into spiritual ideas. You see, he had been creating effective machinery for 20 years. But all the time, this tension and torment had been building up, and human thought that created the machinery just did not remove the tension, the frustration, the mental and physical ills. But when he began to learn the true nature of God, he saw these forces vanish as he recognized the power of true intelligence. He and his wife found happy moments together in working in the fields of music and art. He became conscious of his true individuality as it exists in the universe of mind. These words of the Bible strengthened and inspired him. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And through his study of Christian Science, he proved these words of Mrs. Eddy's to be true. The knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. Now, one may ask, is it truly necessary that I maintain my consciousness in the higher realm of divine mind, that I know God is the soul or central sun of my true being? Well, let us consider this question practically, even prayerfully. Is it not necessary that we obey traffic laws to keep our driver's license? How many of us in this area so often see these signs, speeders lose their licenses? Now, Christian Science teaches us to know and love God and how to obey his laws and thus remove disease, tension, and all obstructing forces that would attempt to impose themselves on the unenlightened consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy, as the founder of Christian Science, struggled long with the obstructing forces of the carnal mind. She drank deeply of the cup of bitterness. But step by step, each problem was met as she held her understanding of God as love and man's inseparable relationship with this perfect love. She asked, is it necessary to say that the likeness of God's spirit is spiritual, or the likeness of love is loving? You see, as the expression of divine intelligence Mazzetti proved that God, the divine mind, is the divine intelligence of everyone. Now, spiritually actuated by her discovery of Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy discovered that God is the soul or central sun of all true being, and that man is the actual expression of life, truth, and love. And this power, she realized, was present in every individual consciousness. The Bible refers to it as Emmanuel, or God with us. This is the power that our Master used in healing and the evidence of his immortal nature. And if there's one lesson to be learned from Mrs. Eddy's life, it is the power that accompanies true intelligence. She saw how evil forces reaching out through materialism reinforced by tradition had bound mankind through the ages with mistaken concepts of man's true being. Yes, the physical body, a mistaken concept of our true being, which is brought out in the very first chapter of the Bible. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." And Mrs. Eddy's thought, reaching out beyond mortal thought, saw how material traditions reinforced by aggressive tyranny had bound races and nations as well as individuals. Her own forefathers left their homes and native lands to find freedom. Mrs. Eddy's home was in New England, that part of the United States originally largely settled by seekers of spiritual freedom. But it was here that Mrs. Eddy learned as a child that freedom from the grasping forces of materiality require more than a geographical change of location. How often we find that out, that a change, a geographical change, does not solve the problems. And as a young child, she learned that spiritual courage is needed, and a true holding to the effective light of divine intelligence if one is to free his thoughts from the grasping forces of material traditions. As a young girl, she suffered from the required acceptance of the doctrine of predestination when seeking church membership. Predestination was a religious belief then prevalent that God had unconditionally doomed some people to perpetual banishment from his presence and his love. Well, from early childhood, Mrs. Eddy had held to her understanding of God as love. She had experienced the power of divine love to heal. She was fully aware of what God meant to her and was therefore unwilling simply to accept the traditionally held views of predestination. But she became severely ill with the conflict this tenet produced. But with the aid of prayer, she held her understanding of God as love. And she tells us that with this decision, an inner sense of joy came over her that healed her instantly, and that never again did the doctrine of predestination, the tormenting doctrine of predestination, trouble her. Now, in this incident, we see how the courageous stand of a young child had such far-reaching effects. So when our young people, our loved ones, are taking a stand for God's unfailing love in grade school or in high school or on the campus, let us realize, let them know that we support the power of this unfailing intelligence. Consider what the far-reaching effects of Mrs. Eddy stand. Her mother's anxiety was delayed because of this healing. The attending physician who was present was astonished by her healing. Material medical loss, to some extent, questioned. Several of the church members were visibly affected, and the clergyman accepted her protest and admitted her into church membership, helping to break tormenting doctrines of predestination. Now, there's perhaps no better way of indicating Mrs. Eddy's grasp of true Christianity than this incident which occurred in her later life. John Lathrop tells us in Volume 1 of the series We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, a one night when her needs seemed extreme, he said she turned to her Bible, and as I've seen her frequently do, opened it at random, and governed by divine intelligence, she turned to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and read these words: Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And the next morning when she appeared at her desk, bright and well as usual, she told us that when she read these words, she realized that she did not have to bear burdens, that love bore them all. And she said, then the mesmerism broke and she felt free. Now in this incident we see that when the life-preserving power of true intelligence is diligently held to, excuse me, thought is lifted above a traditional personal sense of love with the weighty martyrdom it may bring into that love that is God that heals. It is upon this healing love that the Bible tells us to cast our burdens. It is this love, this divine love that never fails, the love that Mrs. Eddy knew to be the source of the life-preserving power of true intelligence. And this incident also shows how Mrs. Eddy's life contributed to the clarification and teachings of Christ Jesus. You know, in Mrs. Eddy's research in Christian Science, she regarded Christ Jesus as the most scientific of all men. She looked upon him as a man that knew the power of truth, who knew that truth and God are synonymous. We know that Jesus consistently taught that it was not theories or doctrines about God that healed, but it was God himself, truth itself, which was forever expressing his divine intelligence through man. And does not the physical scientist and the Christian scientist agree that it is not theories about the sun, but the sunlight itself which brings to the earth light, warmth, and fruitage? You know, we often hear the earth referred to as Mother Earth, do we not? Mortals are so quick to accept what the eyes see. To the physical senses, the flowers, fruit, and grain seem to find their life in Mother Earth. But how long would earthly life continue to exist if this planet should leave its orbit about the sun? Now, the correct answer to this question surely shows Mother Sun and not Mother Earth to be the source of the earth's physical abundance and fruitage. And through analogy that points to the earth's relationship to the sun, Mazzetti directs our attention that the harmony and joy of life depend on our knowing our relationship to God, from whom all blessings flow. The mighty outpourings of abundant good, as we have considered, are made manifest in our needed supply of health and joy. Now, to express this healing light, which alone brings peace to mankind, one must know the true nature of man as it exists in the universe of mind. The Bible refers to this divine presence as Emmanuel, or God with us. And it is this divine intelligence that was the source of our Master's healing work and the evidence of his immortal nature. And it's important, is it not, that each one of us who are listening tonight in our homes or in this edifice are able to differentiate between our temporal, ever-changing physical body and our true eternal Christ nature made in the image of God. You see, it is this divine intelligence that has its source in the divine mind that alone brings peace to the world. And so the point is that I wish to reemphasize tonight is that our prayers go out and reach the imprisoned thought and freeze it from cold imprisonment. Now, here are two questions that may arise in thought. How do I place myself under divine intelligence? What are the fruits of reflecting divine intelligence? Well, let us consider these two questions in the light of Christian Science. For answer to the first question, how do I place myself under divine intelligence? Mazzetti directs our thoughts to biblical words. The first command of this science, the first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit, and the command means this, thou shalt have no life, no intelligence, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. Now, to place ourselves under divine intelligence, we must have the true understanding of God as soul or mind in our inseparable relationship with this, as God, the soul or central sun of all true being, wherein the darkest worldly problems vanish in the light of spiritual understanding. You know, the light of divine intelligence is universal. Wherever the pursuit of outer space may take men, they will find the laws of divine intelligence to control and uphold them. Yes, the light of divine intelligence is universal. Have you ever had the glorious experience of spiritual weightlessness, that is, of having weighty problems disappear through spiritually enlightened understanding and obedience? Have you ever felt thought expand through scientifically understanding these words from the Bible? Though I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand uphold me. Though I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Now, for the second question, what are the fruits of expressing divine intelligence? Excuse me. Well, let us consider three of these fruits as revealed in Christian Science. True ideas, divine qualities, and spiritual activities. And first, let us consider true ideas. Christian Science is revealing to humanity that every spiritual idea that exists in God's universe is reflecting the strength and purpose of divine intelligence. And we have God-given authority of reflecting or using the unfailing power of these spiritual ideas to attain any worthy goal. And according to Christian Science, every material object hints the presence of a spiritual idea as it exists in the universe of mind. Do you question this fact? Then ask yourself this question. Is there a man, or is there a material structure or object made by man that did not exist in someone's consciousness? Now, Christian Science lifts thought higher than a human concept and points to the divine mind as the source of all true ideas. When a material object fails us, we look to the higher source in the realm of divine mind, to the spiritual idea the material object counterfeits. And this is the basis of healing. And it's this change of base from the mortal to the spiritual that heals. And let me illustrate. Some time ago, we decided to have a new dining table in our home. And after stumbling against the legs of this table for several days, I took steps to correct the problem. And I realized that the legs of the new table had extended 3 inches from their sides, whereas the legs of the old table were straight. Now, the old table had been gone from the house for 2 weeks, but my mental image of it still remained. And when I changed the old image with the correct one, the problem was solved. Now, it is interesting to note that it was not the table, but the false image that I was holding to that caused the trouble. And when this image was changed, there was no more difficulty. Now, do we continue to stumble over our old false concepts of man as mortal, material, sinning? Well, then let us do as our Master Christ Jesus. Replace our false concept with the correct image made in God's likeness as revealed in Christian Science. It is this change of base from the mortal to the immortal sense of being that heals. It is so important to realize the power of this change of base. You know, this clarity, when a practitioner helps a patient, he hopes to lift the patient's vision from a material to a spiritual view of man. That's the way that Jesus healed. The perfect ideal man appeared to Jesus where the physical senses presented the false concept of man as a mortal existing in time or space. And this correct view of man healed. Now, the practitioner knows and hopes to have the patient realize that the material body in no way resembles the spiritual idea it counterfeits. A material body is temporal, destructible. A spiritual idea is eternal, indestructible, infinite. A spiritual idea surpasses all earthly beauty, for it reflects the deathless, evergreen nature of soul. And so when we express the power of true intelligence, we are assured of the protecting power of the divine mind, which constitutes the true individuality of every individual and the source of these fruits of divine intelligence we are considering. Now, another of these fruits are divine qualities. Some of these unfailing qualities are joy, beauty, love, understanding, intelligence, peace. These unfailing qualities are our Father's gift to us. Man naturally reflects all the spiritual hues of divine intelligence. And we have God-given authority for expressing these qualities. That's the way God made us, in His image and likeness. And when we express them, that is, reflect them in every activity, we are assured of the life-preserving power of true intelligence. The prophet Isaiah points to our activity of our use of these divine qualities as the glory of God. He puts it in these words: "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee." Now, when we express these unfailing qualities, we find that the evil forces of self-depreciation, discouragement, vanish from our experience. Ms. Eddy writes, "Warmed by the sunshine of truth, watered by the heavenly dews of love, the forces of Christian Science spring upward, away from the sordid soil of self and matter. Are we clearing the gardens of our thought from the noxious weeds of passion, malice, envy, and strife? Are we feeling the vernal freshness and sunshine of enlightened faith?" It's so important that we understand these objectives. And here's a question we can each ask: are we finding our way to the center of man's heart through meekness, mercy, and love? Are we bringing to the world the harmony and brotherhood which constitutes the true nature of man? If so, we are bringing to ourselves the peace of God which passeth understanding. Now let us consider the third fruit of divine intelligence: the activity of soul. Christian Science reveals that every one of God's ideas reflect the power of divine intelligence. And these spiritual ideas existing in the universe of mind are all supporting us in our bringing to mankind the healing and truth of God. It's so important that we realize the power of these activities. You know, they require clarity of vision. Mercedes, in her definition of Elias, uses these words in her definition: "Christian Science, with which can be discerned the spiritual fact of whatever the material senses behold, the basis of immortality." So these spiritual activities are our divine heritage, and when we express them, they carry the power, unfailing power, of divine law. I wonder if you have ever felt the power of your true individuality as it exists in the universe of mind. You know, every one of God's ideas, from a seed to a star, are actuated by divine intelligence. As the Father hath life in Himself, so does every material or every spiritual idea have life in itself. And so let us always remember that whatever material forces would claim power to engulf us, our survival is inevitable. Our life is forever secure, for it radiates the spiritual activities of divine intelligence. Our Master Christ Jesus proved this to be true. Neither his birth in a lowly manger or his burial in a tomb could separate his true being from God. He proved that through his ascension and resurrection, that the way out of every worldly problem is found through divine intelligence. Our Master's life proved that our life is unlimited because it reflects the soul or central sun of all true being. And then also the light of divine intelligence, the spiritual light of divine intelligence, reflects or links our consciousness, let me put it that way, links our consciousness with the spiritual activity of divine love. And remember that divine love never passes by the object on which its healing light is focused. The Good Samaritan did not pass by the wounded man, did he? The Bible tells us he bound his wounds and found him shelter. And Mrs. Eddy writes, love cannot be a mere abstraction or goodness without activity and power. Now, the Church of Christ Scientists represents or represents the spiritual activity of divine love. Those who unite with this church are reborn in the activity of divine love. There's never any lack of opportunity for activity by a member of this church. Each member, through the example of his own life, is helping to fulfill the mission of church. Mrs. Eddy defines the human institution in these words. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility, is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. And in this true understanding of church, we can let our thoughts reach out and bless all mankind through knowing that our prayers are actuated by divine mind. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as we've seen in the high school boy and his experience and the experience of the businessman whom through dealing in ideas could not heal himself of the tensions and frustration tormenting him, but he found that he was able to lift his thought to spiritual ideas, that this light of divine intelligence removed these tormenting false qualities that had imposed themselves on him for over 20 years. Yes, in our purpose of fulfilling this true goal of life, the Christian Scientist, the loyal Christian Scientist, is actuated by divine love. Each member, in his own place and in his own way, is striving through the power of truth to neutralize the forces of evil, to destroy the false belief that evil is mine, and to reveal to all mankind the way out of every worldly problem through the life-preserving power of true intelligence. Thank you for listening, and good night.